praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is every day will I bless you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Whether it is raining, whether it is hot, whatever I'm going through, we are going through, we will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Thank you for your loving kindness. O Lord God, gloriously and marvelously shed upon us this morning again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, from the rising of the sun to the middle of the day, thy name, O Lord, be magnified throughout all creation,
Amen.
Visible and invisible, in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we all boldness, depending upon your word, this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are able to rejoice because he told us that he has let us his joy. This I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Father, we thank thee. In a world of chaos, told us, peace I live with you, he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Thank you for your peace. Lord, it's the Prince of Peace, and it dwelleth in us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the comfort of the Holy Ghost. As he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. We are witnesses that the comforter has really come and he dwelleth in us, comforting us, showing us things to come, putting us in remembrance of the things the Lord has taught us. Blessed be his glorious name. Thank you, Father. And depending upon him this morning, who is the author of the word, the Holy Ghost is, all scripture are by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit of the Lord. So we depend upon him this morning as we read his word to even enlighten us more.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So many a time God's children go through all kinds of things and then they forget that the scripture has forewarned of all these things, and how to manage pressure, how to manage trials and things like that, you know. So James chapter 5, the 7th verse. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, you see. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and later rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, and for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You see, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse 10 says, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth our fruit. Praise ye the Lord. He talked about the prophets, right? Then he singled out these two prophets, right? By the grace of God this morning, I want to talk about the suffering affliction with patience. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All Christians go through it. You know, as anybody is a Christian, don't go through affliction one way or the other. One time or the other, I think maybe it's losing, maybe not living right. Praise the Lord. But it is suffering affliction with patience. So, and because, this chapter singles out two, he mentioned the prophets, right? Then he singles out two of them. And I want to kind of talk about all familiar story, but let's just walk through their life and see how they handle, you know, affliction and things like that, you know. Now, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Hoth, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and eschewed evil. See that? Look at the qualification of Job. See what I'm saying? But all of his study, notwithstanding that qualification, affliction came. What a lesson. So, and the scripture did not leave us without the reason why Satan got the inroads to this mighty prophet of God, man of God, shall we say, you know. So you cannot begin to wonder when you are going to do things, not because you did anything wrong, in most cases, and something like that, you know, although people do things that, without wisdom. Anyway, so we know in Job's case, what happened to him was in Job 23:23, we are not left in darkness. Why? What really happened to him? Because he entertained fear, you know? He entertained fear. That's what happened to him. Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. So fear is a terrible emotion. Amen. The Bible says that all about the Bible. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Isaiah 41 verse 10, I believe it is. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, they say. For I am thy God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. See? I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. When you pass through things, remember the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So fear opened the door to the devil and so on. You know. And the Bible says, perfect love, right? Cast us off fear. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be like Job and let fear get the better part of us. So anyway, so that's the reason for Job. Where Satan get an inroad to him and things like that, you know. So, his words, when he got into this trouble and so on, and Satan began to afflict him and so on like that, you know. His words were almost only negative, you know, in all the early discussion that he had during his affliction. In fact, so negative to the point that, he had begged God to take away his life. He even caused the day he was, of his birth, just Job 3:1. After this, opened Job his mouth and caused his day. You know, that's how, doing affliction and so on like that, and that's how afflicted he was, he had even questioned God's wisdom or providence in creating him. So we have to learn many lessons from this man of God. Look at his qualification. He was a man. Perfect and upright. But when affliction came, many kind of negative began to proceed out of his mouth, which ought not to be so. Anyway, he confessed weakness, he had weakness. He confessed his mystery, and he received more mystery. So it's a true saying indeed that one does not rise higher than his confession. Amen. Be careful what you confess. If you don't want to speak anything, speak only the word of God, amen. No matter what you are passing through, make sure if you say anything, make sure it is the word of God that help your situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, we notice later on, Job's face slowly begin to rise over his death fear. And one of his first feeble confession, as positive, was in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Now he has learned some lesson now. He was resigned to the will of God, even if he misunderstood that will of God, So we need to learn some lesson from him now, That's what we are going through and so on. He now resigned himself to the to the will of God, whether he understood it or not, So, God knew Job will stand true. The mouth of Satan will not be short concerning Job, Job had proved that God had men who would stand through the fiercest trial. All of God's children go through one trial or the other. So one thing we like from Job, that God, I mean, you know, Job proved to the devil and so on, God know we have men who will stand true to God, even in the face of the fiercest trial that we have. As Job's faith gradually begins to rise above the negative, the Lord reveals to him his power, even the power of his resurrection. So Job could now say in Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin was destroyed," Job said, "this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reign be consumed," Job said, "within me." So anyway, what am I saying here? In his affliction, God began to reveal things to him, the coming of the Redeemer. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Even in the affliction, if you are holding to the word of God, things God will reveal things to you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God began to tell him how God will come, Emmanuel and so forth. The Redeemer, the Kinsman Redeemer will come. And, you know, he even said that there will be a resurrection. And, you know, that we see the, you know, when it comes and something like that, you know. Anyway, I will believe in Matthew 27, about the 52 and 53 verses. The Bible says, when the door opened the dead, I mean, you know, the Bible says many dead and so on like that. Many people of the saints, you know, that died, rose from the grave after the Lord resurrected from the dead. That's how, you know, and so on like that, you know. We believe Job was one of those people, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says so, Matthew 27, 52, 53. So anyway, so we believe because, you know, we believe it was very in the Palestine and so on. Anyway, God showing great things during that time. The coming of the Redeemer and then also the resurrection of the dead. God showing all of those things. Later, he began to see very dimly at first that the providence of God was working things out for his good. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we learn in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
With this knowledge, Job's faith got stronger and stronger to the point where he could say in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me," talking about suffering affliction with patience, right? "When he has tried me, I shall comfort as gold." Praise the Lord Jesus. "When he has tried me, I shall comfort as gold." So don't be afraid of trial and so on. You know, just keep your eye upon the Lord. You too be comforted as gold, amen? If you keep the word of God and just keep your eye on him. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That should be the thing we should know. Joseph, I know, you know, God know the way that I'm taking. When he has tried me, I will comfort as good. No matter what you are going through, he will bring you forth. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's not watching over you. Watching over you and through everything you are going through. He knows all about it. It was true that Job had not manifestly completed anything, not that we know of. In fact, in Job 1:22, "In all this Job sinned not." See that? He didn't sin anything like that, as we know. And, you know. But we know this thing. He was guilty of one thing. He was guilty of wrong attitude. Amen? Praise the Lord. Be careful of your attitude when you are going through affliction. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Have the right attitude towards the Lord. Amen? So he had a rough attitude. That's why he was saying all those negative things about nobody. He didn't sin anyway. The sin he committed will be the wrong attitude. Our attitude towards God when going through trials is very, very important. Amen? And, initially, Job had an obstinate pride in his own good works. Now, no longer, not anymore, the deep protest his own goodness. He has learned some lessons now. After he had received a visitation from God, and had seen his greatness, he considered himself vile, unworthy of the least of the divine benefits. And in deep repentance, he confessed his fault or error, I will say, in Job 42 verse 3. I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Verse 6 says, wherefore I appall myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. So make sure you keep the right attitude is everything. I'm going to read something. Keep the right attitude with the word of God, loving the Lord, praise the Lord. And don't have the wrong attitude at all. The way you handle your affliction is very, very important. Though we see that repentance, whether of a manifested sin or of sin of wrong attitude, together with humility, is one of the great steps towards deliverance from affliction. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you are not having the right attitude when you are being afflicted, correct it, repent. Praise the Lord. One thing, another thing is this. He prayed for his friends, you know. And it's human when you are being going through certain thing to put your attention all of yourself on your affliction alone. That's not the proper way, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's learn from Job. He prayed for his friends in his affliction. Job's communion with the Lord have been renewed now. Now God will have him to correct his relationship with his fellow man. Yeah, he restored relationship with God. Now God wants him to now correct his relationship with his fellow man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not only to be right with God, good to be right with your fellow man. Amen. Praise the Lord. So so God wants him to restore his fellowship with his friends. These friends have missed the mark really. They even did worse than Job. They were legalistic and dogmatic in the way they treated Job. They had called upon Job to repent, but they needed to repent themselves even more than Job did, So be careful, don't judge any family, judge not one another, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Even in the book of James, judge not one another. I'm sorry, judge at the door. So now when people are passing through things, people are quick to judge them. Other Christians passing through something, they will start finding fault. What is happening? They need to guess what happened to him. Don't judge anybody, amen? So these people, they think they were more holy than Job. All of this is so, but God vindicated Job, amen?
Amen.
And when people are judging you, don't get mad. Just keep vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will recompense. When they say good things about you, and when they don't say nothing about you, they will say all kind of things about you. Don't get mad again. Just let God have it. Now, how God vindicated Job, God now rebuked those friends. Go and meet my servant Job. Let him pray for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what I want to see in my life, my own life. But people want to take vengeance on their own. They want to take vengeance on your own. God sees you, know what you're going through. He knows what people are saying about you wrongly. All of those things, So anyway, so now Job, and here is Job, in Job 16:2, he called them miserable comforters. All this is friends. Praise the Lord. Now God is now telling him to pray for those miserable comforters. Praise the Lord. That is the divine nature, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Divine nature, So God now says to pray for them. He didn't refuse. Now he has asked his blessing. So, in Job 42:10, and the Lord taught the captivity of Job. At what time? When he prayed for his friends, those he once called the miserable comforters, right? God said, go pray for them. That's when he got the deliverance. So when you are going through the affliction, don't put all your attention on your affliction. Pray for people around you. Pray for friends. Pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. One more secret of how to quickly get delivered from affliction. Pray for your friends, you know, and so on. Don't just put all your attention on that affliction and so on. That, you know, God put this in for a lesson for us. Amen? See? So, and it's for our learning and so on, you know, that you may know many things in the Bible, how to get delivered and so on. That, you know. So, and also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen? Satan, what is stole from you, it's nothing compared to what God will reward you with if you have patience in the affliction. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Satan has done his work in afflicting Job. He has brought one calamity after another upon Job. But now things changed. God had mended the edge. Health and prosperity returned to Job.
Amen.
That which the devil had taken away was doubly restored by God. Job not only was healed, but he received health and enabled him to live an additional 140 years more. Amen?
Amen?
That is in verse 16 of Job 42. After this, lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even for generations. So, back to where I began this morning, Jesus chapter 5 verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure, amen? When you are going through the affliction, learn this thing, let us learn this thing. We count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the law, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. 34 of the Psalm, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. You know, it's my common saying here, when I see the word, oh, I'm happy, amen? No matter how many afflictions you go through, you know? So many, God will deliver you out of them, because I'm a child of God, amen? He knows that when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you, amen? Don't be born. When you pass through the water, I'm going to be with you, you won't dry, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So now, you know, because this epistle, he mentioned many prophets. And take for example, the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. Then he now talked about two of them. So that's why I'm talking about these two of them this morning. So talk about Elijah too, because in James 5:17, Elias was a man of subject to like passion as we. And he prayed earnestly and so forth that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So it's teaching us the lesson of, persistence in prayer, right? Not to easily give up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't easily give up now, you know. So I'm sure when he was praying those prayers and so forth, you know, the second time to bring the rain, Satan did all he could. It took him 7 times, you know, before I can bring back the rain, amen? All the part of hell. So again, since that rain will not come, right? That the prophecy will not come to pass, like God has told Elijah. But Elijah stood his ground, praise the Lord. And the rain came anyway. Let's talk about him a little bit. The story of Elijah will not be finished before the great tribulation, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's talk about him so, because Bible talks about him. Anyway, so Elijah. Not much is said in scripture about Elijah's background. We don't know much about him. But we can glean some of that background for other scripture. We know that Asa, the great grandson of David. Why did I say that? Because David begat Solomon. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abijah. And Abijah gave birth to Asa. Anyway, Asa reigned over Judah when Elijah was a youth. These are the things we know from the Bible. We don't know so much about Elijah, but we know this thing about him. So it was during the time of Asa that Elijah was a youth. And at that time, the exploits of King David were all still within the knowledge of the people. Elijah, I mean, young at that time, longed to see a revival in Israel that will record those wonderful days of David, you know. And as a boy, he had witnessed Esau, who through faith in God, defeated a great host of Ethiopian army. That's 2 Chronicles 14:12. I mean, that's what he said. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Esau and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. These are the days where Elijah was a youth. According to the other scripture, I can't have, don't have to go and read them. So that's when Elijah was living, was a youth at that time. He saw those things. But in that time now, Elijah had witnessed the sad spectacle of a steady spiritual decline in both the south and northern kingdoms. You know, there are two, since the hope I'm right, kingdom was divided into 10 northern kingdoms and 2 northern southern kingdoms, right? That great spiritual declension in that time as well, that you know. So the great vision of his soul, meaning Elijah, anyway, was realized at the victory on Mount Carmel. You know, he pursued, I mean, where are these revivals? You know, David was even saying, our fathers have told us more great things they did in their days, you know, in the days of God and so on that, you know. So that is the cry of the heart of Elijah too. Oh, look at the David and so on. Look at Esau. We are all those things. He was yearning for revival and he got one in, eh? Praise the Lord Jesus. So if I'm looking for revival and you don't see it, you're going to get it, eh? Praise the Lord. Markane, that vision was fulfilled. He had been yearning. You know, he saw David, the mighty heart of David and so forth. You know, to the time of Esau, you know, the big thing and so on, that, you know, begin to look for the revival, and he got one. The vision of his soul was together, you know, on Mount Carmel, you know the story, fire on Carmel and so on, that, you know. Anyway, it was in that spirit of exhortation that he ran all the way to Jezreel, arriving before Ahab, you know, did in his chariot. I'm paraphrasing a lot of chapters in 1 Kings right now. Just which we all know this story, I believe, as well as you know. All hopes that Ahab will continue or carry on the reformation was certainly that. He was so happy, you know, when the when the rain came back and so on, even as ran, you know, Ahab, who was riding on the chariot, you know, as well as you know. So he was so happy that maybe this restoration and so on, that this Ahab will continue and, you know, and carry it on. That hope was dashed the very second day. What happened? Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was on the warpath and talking about affliction, right? You know, I told that, you know, suffering affliction with patience, I told that, you know. Jezebel, the king's wife, you know, Ahab's wife, was on the warpath and she had placed a heavy price upon the head of Elijah. Praise the Lord. All these military people and so on, looking because she has slain all the prophets of Baal, you know, all of them. So, you know, so anyway, and the prophet was now caught off guard, you know. He was to learn a lesson that, a hard lesson, in a hard way. But it was not a lesson, it was a lesson he would never forget. What was it? Never again, after that lesson, would it poise be disturbed. Never again will he be thrown into a panic over Jezebel's threat, or anybody else for that matter, something like that, you know, but he went through a lot, you know. Never again did his faith waver after this terrible experience and so on, this affliction and so on, that, you know. All this will result from a new experience that he was to receive at Horeb, the Mount of God. See? And let's go through that quickly. So, we know many things happened in Elijah's life. Even from the say of Obadiah and the sons of the prophets, we know that he was supernaturally transported during his ministry. Praise the Lord. Amen. All the exploits, Elijah, his exploits and so on, we know, that he was taken from place to place supernaturally and so on, that, you know. So anyway, but when he ran away from Jezebel, nothing supernatural is in that kind of a thing, right? That's not the supernatural thing when you run away from a woman, right? After all these great efforts, right? Praise the Lord. Anyway, why? God never helped a man to run away from a problem that you ought to face, amen? God doesn't do that. I want you to face it as quiet-headed and so, and be a victor, not a victim. Praise the Lord. By the power of the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ and so. We know in this Bible too, men were running away from God and for their trouble. When Jonah fled from the Lord, he paid his fear thereof, didn't he? And eventually wound up, his adventure in the belly of a whale. Jonah went to praise the Lord. May God send a message and so on. Don't want to deliver it. Anyway, so running away from, you have to face it. One time or the other and so on. Elijah fleeing from Jezebel was completely out of the character with his spirit actually. Completely out of character with the spirit of Elijah actually, you know. We believe that the Lord probably permitted him to, that to happen, so that people like us, you know, we not fall into the error of thinking that Elijah was a superman. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord allowed him so that he would not think that Elijah was a superman. That's why the Bible says he was a man of like passion, right? Praise the Lord. So God is no respecter of persons. You know, so and one of the reasons we believe God allowed that to happen. And so Elijah himself, you know, that is the power of God. You know, so it's the anointing of the Lord. So, well, let's see what happened to him and so on. The journey of Elijah, when he fled from Jezebel, was a very unhappy one, actually. The further he went, the more discouraged he became. And the more he was confused from the scripture and so on. A fugitive from Jezebel's law, he retreated deeper and deeper into the wilderness. At last, the prophet came to the end of his flight. Samaria, where Jezebel lived, was far behind him now. He was a full day's journey from the nearest outpost of civilization. Just paraphrasing many, many scriptures in 1 Kings right here. So, you know, and there was nothing to disturb him at this time except his own reflection. But that was it, not to disturb him really, you know. On that day, Elijah was a most unhappy and miserable man. Oh yes, even the great Elijah was. For indeed, he was a man subject to that passion as we are in it. Praise the Lord. Oh, affliction and so on, that you know, and patience and so on. Even his servant, a fair weather friend, had deserted him. Now Elijah was alone. Amen. Let me read that to you in 1 Kings 19 verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. I was a man that God had planned to take to heaven in the chariot of fire. Yet he wished that he might die. Nevertheless, that was one prayer of Elijah that God did not answer. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Destiny and destiny has a rendezvous with this man of God. Though he himself little realized it as some of that, you know. God let Elijah go through a valley experience, amen? Talking about experiences and affliction and patience and so on. So God allowed Elijah to go through a valley experience. The spirit of Elijah was wounded but not broken, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, so when you go through things and so on, remember all these things and so on, you know? He needed a time of rest, a time to compose himself again. It was not Elijah. It wasn't the rich Elijah who said, it is enough, oh Lord, let's take away my life. Not the rich Elijah, affliction and so on, pushing the amen. Praise the Lord. That was the rich spirit of Elijah, actually, you know. Anyway, even then, the Lord did not charge Elijah for saying that. The Lord let him sleep anyway. After a while, an angel, awoke him. When angels appear in the Bible, days and so on, before they tell people that don't be afraid, right? All the time in the Bible, when the angels appear to many of them, fear not before they will say, God, may I have to fear, right? When they see supernatural things and so on like that, you know. Anyway, even some will think that, hey, they're going to die, right? When they see an angel. Such was the case of Manoah, you know, the father of Samson, right? You know, so in Judges 13, you can see it there, you know. But the angel of the Lord, you know, did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. This is the announcement of birth of Samson, right? We're talking about here. I'm saying that even men will say that, you know, they will say they're going to die, right? Anyway, so then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. You see? So anyway, so they will, you know, some will be afraid. They just say, don't fear not. But not with Elijah. Amen. Praise God. Elijah wasn't afraid at all. You know, wasn't afraid at all. You know, why? For he had lived close enough to God and to the spiritual world not to be disturbed by the visit of a heavenly messenger. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many people, they tell you, fear not. And you, man, we are going to die. It was comforted him. Why will God kill us? If he wants to kill us, he won't have shown us all this about this coming baby. You see what I'm saying? Elijah wasn't even afraid. He was just comfortable, right? Because he had lived, I mean, you know, long enough, close enough to the spiritual world, not to be disturbed by the visit of a heavenly messenger. He saw that God, God has thought enough of him to send an angel to kindle a fire, to bake a cake for him, and to bring him a cruse of water way out there in the wilderness. Seek comfort. Even during our vision, God will comfort you, amen?
Amen.
Comfort you, my people, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you like to go through something, may the comfort you by the great comforter within you. Praise the Lord. He will comfort you all the time. If I let him, he will comfort you. He knows what you are going through. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now let me read to you in 1 Kings 19:5, a known scripture. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So all this is telling us, the one reason for nothing is for our own comfort and edification in it. Indeed, we expect in this last day, as we know the coming of the Lord, that we expect an increase in angelic visitation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bible tells us so, and we begin to expect more and more increase in angelic visitation in this last day. We are told in Hebrews 1:14, are they meaning angels? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? We minister to Elijah, and they are ministering in this age too to many of the saints in this generation. Amen?
Amen.
As we now come, we want to see more and more of that according to the scriptures. Praise the Lord. That's why we are told in Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Amen?
Amen.
As the night is coming, there will be more and more, according to the scripture, of angelic visitation. The more you know about them, the better. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
No. Now, Elijah was then instructed that there was a long journey ahead of him. He was to go toward the south for a distance of about 200 miles, according to measurement of the scripture and so on. There the Lord will meet with him at Horeb, the mount of God. Look at from affliction, right? Look at the great things that will happen to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So every affliction you go through and you stay there with God, it will end up in glory.
Amen.
In blessings. Amen?
Amen.
God had a purpose in it. Praise the Lord. And it's related to the Bible. I want to say with these two people that the James mentioned about, amen, praise the Lord. So, you know, we can talk about Joseph and many of them, but I want to go there, I want to stay with these two of them. God knows why he mentioned these two people and so on. Anyway, so in 1 Kings 19:8, and he arose and did eat, you know, and drink, and went in the strength of that means 40 days and 40 nights unto only the mount of God. Praise the Lord. Supernatural food. Praise God. Men ate angels' food, amen. Praise the Lord. Comforted Elijah and so on. Ministered to angels, ministered to him and so on. So no matter what, as you are a child of, as being a child of God, I'm going through things, look for, he will help you, he will be with you, amen. I will be with you in trouble. See? Praise the Lord. The 94th and 6th and so on. You know. Anyway, so we see. So in parallel with Elijah, let me quickly divert another man. Another prophet, see, the prophet, right? Let me pick on another prophet in parallel with this. His name is Moses. Praise the Lord. You know, another prophet and so on. But he says, take for example the prophets, right? Who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. So let me just take Moses in, you know, in line with Elijah. Now, Horeb or Sinai was the mountain where the law appeared to Moses in the burning bush, right? That's right there in Exodus 3:1. It's right there for those who want to read. But let me read it. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. That's where Elijah went, right? That's why I'm drawing this parallel right here. You know. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Talking about parallel between Moses and Elijah and so on, as a digression, we are just dwelling on Elijah, the one that James wrote about in the epistle, you know, affliction and so on. Anyway, so now the parallel between Moses and so on, you know, and Elijah. So at Mount Horeb, they both did many things and so on. So there at Mount, the Mount of God, Moses became the deliverer of Israel, right there at Mount Horeb. Because in Exodus 4:27, and the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. This is the same mountain that God sent Elijah to. And we are trying to draw some parallel, a little digression between these two prophets and so on, that, you know. There is something about them. So there at the mount of God, Horeb, Moses encamped when his wife and two sons, were brought back to him by his father-in-law. Exodus 18:5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his son and his wife unto Moses unto the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. Now, even more about this Mount Horeb and so on, where God led Elijah to, that we are drawing parallel with Moses. There at the mount of God, meaning Horeb, God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments. 24 of Exodus 13. And Moses rose up. And his minister Joshua, and Moses went up, unto the mount of God. So there's a remarkable parallel between the life of Moses and Elijah. A lot of parallels. I want to just talk about that also, because it has a future significance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, let us see some parallels, more parallels and so on. They were both on Mount Horeb, right? There are more parallels between the two prophets. Their experiences and ministry have many remarkable similarities. For example, centuries later, the two appear as witnesses at another mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is in Matthew chapter 17. It's all there. I don't want to read that one, but it's all there in Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration. We all know the story, so I won't talk so much about that. Or if you like, in Mark chapter 9, the same story is in there. Now, there at Mount Horeb, both Moses and Elijah abstained from food 40 days in connection with their ministry. Amen. Mount Horeb, that's what it is. So you can see that in Exodus 24 verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Praise the Lord. And that's where God sent Elijah, right? 1 Kings 19:8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that mid 40 days and 40 nights into the Horeb, the mount of God. Parallel between Moses and Elijah, went back into their ministry, you know, in the past and so on. There at Horeb, the mount of God, when the Lord appeared to Moses at the giving of the law, there was a fire, an earthquake, and the voice of God speaking, as well as other supernatural phenomena happen on that mountain when God appears, some of that, you know. There at Horeb, the mount of God, when God appeared to Elijah, there was also fire and earthquake, and the voice of God, praise the Lord. Yeah. Drawing parallel between the two prophets, because it's very important for the end of the age. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, anyway, there was, however, this notable difference in Moses' time. God was in the fire in Moses' time, and in the earthquake, God was in there, according to the word of God, and he spoke with a loud voice that all Israel could hear, you know. But when God appeared to Elijah on that mountain, he was not in the fire, amen? He was not in the earthquake at that time with Elijah, nor in the mighty wind. But he spoke to him in a still small voice, amen? Praise the Lord. Just even interestingly, the word of God, the joy of the word of God, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, the manifold wisdom of God in his word and so on. We know, you know, the difference. How do we explain that in Moses' time, God so much spoke, he was in the fire, he spoke, and even all Israel had it. Can you imagine the privileges that children of Israel had? They had the very voice of God audibly, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The same voice that spoke at the Jordan River where Christ was being baptized. This is my beloved son, something like that, you know. That same voice, praise the Lord. That same voice, and I believe it's in the Luke chapter 12 and so on, that, you know. Bible says, when he spoke, they had a voice, and he thundered and something like that, you know. Anyway, so they had him and something like that, you know. Anyway, in Elijah's time, he just had a still small voice. So we explain this by saying that Israel had asked for law, right? But Elijah lived in the presence of God, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they asked for a law, but Elijah was in God's presence and so on. Anyway, Moses was a great intercessor, you know, whose prayer saved Israel from annihilation. You can read all that in Exodus 32. Which I don't have time. Anyway, it was Elijah's prayer and faith at Mount Carmel that turned the heart of Israel back to God. That's in 1 Kings 18, drawing parallel between Moses and Elijah and so on. You know. Another thing is this. Moses did not complete his ministry, but it was taken over by Joshua. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Likewise, Elijah's ministry was carried on after he was gone by another one, Elisha. Praise the Lord. But that means that God has a push up. Moses didn't complete the ministry, right? Elijah didn't complete his own. God is telling us in another way that these people have a continued ministry in the future, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord Jesus. That can be one implication, you know, that they have another, you know, they are going to do some work in the future. You know, so God terminated their ministry at that time because we believe. Revelation 11, Bible says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, amen? Praise the Lord. We believe those two witnesses are Moses and Elijah by looking at their ministry. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, now another thing is this, another parallel is this. Just as Elijah recorded that he might die, so Moses also at the height of his frustration, leading the children of Israel, in Numbers 11:15, did the same thing. Let me read that one to you. And then if thou deedest with me, Moses telling God, now kill me, he said, I pray thee, out of hand. That is in Numbers 11:15. Parallel between Elijah and Moses and so on. They both refer to die. If thou deedest with me, kill me. I pray thee, Moses said, out of hand, if I have found favor in that sight, and let me not see my wretchedness, you know. So, no parallel between two of them and so on. So, and another thing is this. God took the spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon 70 elders when he made that request. That is in Numbers 11:37. So, you know, another 70 other thing and still, and put it upon 70 other people and so on. God took the spirit that was upon Elijah in a way, if you want to say that, and put upon Elisha. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just reading scriptures, parallel between these two prophets and something like that, you know. So and the spirit of God was upon Moses in such power that his eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated, at even an advanced age of 120 years, Deuteronomy 34:7. So Elijah also seemed to possess supernatural vitality, which enabled him to perform physical feats that would have otherwise been possible. Like I said before, he outran the shadows of Ahab, amen, to Jesse. Praise the Lord. Parallel between the two, so we can now see what the Bible is inferring here for the future for these two prophets and so on, just before the Great Tribulation and so on. Let's go back to this, thing and finish this thing up here, talking about, affliction, with patience and so on. The supernatural was manifest in the lives of both men, even as they were taken from this world. Of course, Elijah by translation, 2 Kings 2:11. And Moses had a unique funeral, you know. No man, as I know, he was buried by God. Nobody knows his sepulchre, amen. To this very day, praise the Lord. You know, so can you see, Elijah taking off, and they are typing, the translation and the resurrection, praise the Lord. See, Elijah, with all those experiences and all that, So we see, we can keep on going like that about, their father and so on, that, Anyway, so now, and later, the Lord, of course, raised Moses' body and so on like that, supernaturally and so forth. Jude 9 tells us that. Now, as a night, Elijah listened to the still small voice in 1 Kings 19:12. And the thing I want to say about this is this. Here is a great lesson for us today. If we will enter into the ministry of Elijah, I want to talk about Elijah's ministry, right? We must listen, Listen as the prophet always did for the still small voice of God. Because in 1 Kings 19:12, and after the earthquake and a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So I'm saying that it's an object lesson for God's children today. If we will enter into the ministry of Elijah, we must listen as the prophet always did for the still small voice of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. We must draw apart from this noisy, world full of clamor and, busy world and so on. We must learn to listen to the Lord. Amen. We draw yourself from this glamorous glamour and so on like that, the clamor and so of this busy world and so on like that, so we can, hear that still small voice of the Lord. Nothing will substitute in our Christian life for the waiting for and the listening to the voice of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are too busy. Many times we talk too much to God. No time to listen to God. Amen. We do all the talking, right? That's not to be so. Praise the Lord. Let us listen to Him. He will speak to us through His word and by the Holy Spirit and so forth. Now, now, Asanai, one more thing here. Moses interceded for Israel after she had made the golden calf. and broken the covenant. In Elijah's day, Israel had again broken the covenant, right? In the 1 Kings 19:14, and had forsaken the Lord by setting up calves, of gold by Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12:28. So, both Moses and Elijah saved their generation by standing in the gap between God and the people. As God gave Moses a commission at Mount Sinai, so he gave Elijah a commission too, Elijah's commission was such that in the end will purge Israel of the wicked regime that had defiled the land. The commission included the anointing of Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was to carry on after his translation, like I mentioned earlier on and so on that, So, as God let Elijah go through a valley experience, I'm finishing up right now, so God let most of his children go through some fiery trial, amen? I read Elijah and his story because of the future. What you have to do in the future and put Moses in there. But the thing is this, as God let Elijah go through a valley experience, so God let most of us go through some fiery trials. And men must learn to stand the test if they are to have a part in the eternal world, amen. We must learn to stand the trial that God allows to come our way. Praise the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him, amen? Praise the Lord. See? So, God must have men that he can depend on, who will not panic in the day of trouble, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. These are the things we learn from these people and so on like that, Now, we need not be in Elijah's state of mind when he fled from Jezebel, knowing that the Lord today the Lord's hand is with us, amen? You don't have to be like Elijah, you don't have to be in his shoe, like when he ran for him, Jezebel and so on, because the Lord's hand is upon us and is with us. We need not be discouraged for any reason, including when someone has dealt ill with us. We must not allow the world's slow thing to work upon us, amen? Don't allow the world's slow thing to work upon us. We must not lose the sparkle, amen? During affliction, which comes to all of us, Bible says, unless one is a bastard, right? Don't lose the sparkle. We must not lose the zest of life, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. We must keep the inspiration, that divine inspiration, and record that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Amen? No matter what you are passing through, remember, Romans 8:18. The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Soon, we will find out that in our darkest hour, light began to dawn. Amen? If you don't give up, amen. Praise the Lord. No matter how dark it is, you soon find out now, you just stay put with God, light begin to dawn. Before Elijah went to Horeb, he was a man of faith. But he needed the experience of the man. He did. When he left Horeb, he was not the same man anymore. Never again did he the Israelite come to his heart and so on. Never again was he afraid of the face of man. Never again did he run from anybody at all. Amen. When you stay through the affliction and so on that God has to come through your life, you'll be a changed person, transformed to a greater glory. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You could allow it, stay right there with him. So it is that those who shall with Elijah enter into that experience of dominion and faith must also be willing to take time to have an experience on the mountain of God, so to say, amen? Praise the Lord. Yes. It is there, on the mount, so to say, that the Elijah saints are born, amen? Out of the affliction, running from Jezebel and so forth. Look at what happened to him and so on, you know. Anyway, so like Elijah, you know, will be driven to this mouth of God, maybe through persecution. Revelation 12:5. Praise the Lord. You shall have to know as you want to be born, the man child will be born, right? Persecution come, dragon and the satanic powers and so forth. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 tell us all of those things and so on. So pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. No matter what the affliction is, let us press on. Press on. You know, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Amen? Amen. Continue instant in prayer. Don't give up in the affliction and trial. Praise the Lord Jesus. See? So rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continue instant in prayer. Revelation 1:9. I'm going to finish up here. That's my Revelation 1:9. Even the apostles, another prophet. Yeah, what he said, look at what he went through, Apostle John, right? In Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Look at what he went through to get the book of Revelation. Legend has it that he was put in boiling oil. In that legend had it so, praise the Lord. And they took him for a wish, you know, and so on. And put him in a castle type of a place called, where you want and so on. I of Patmos, so that's for him to die and so on, right, you know. Dear God appeared to him, the Lord appeared to him. Through affliction, right? Patience. You know, he said, he told you what he went through, right? You know, read it for yourself. He said, I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation or trial, if you want, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the eye that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So now, First Peter 4:12. Let me see here if I got this right. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's right. Now, in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, amen? Even in the affliction and trial and so forth, the Lord cares for you. People will be wondering that he cares for you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Casting all your care upon him. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a running lion, walketh about, seeking whom he might devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Watch that one. The same afflictions are accomplished, in your brethren that are in the world. Every child of God to go through something, one time or the other. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, reading on in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, amen? That is the end of all affliction for any child of God. Praise God. That is the end of this. So that is what is going to come out of. So, when you have suffered for a while, right, he will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. And to him, verse 11, the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Beloved, take it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happen unto you. Now, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We just go through so many scriptures this morning, and so suffering, affliction with patience and so on. Be patient when you are tried and so forth. In every situation in the Bible, God going to lift you up and be more blessed than you have ever been blessed before. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we don't take it strange or the free trial we are going through or we go through. And we know, O Lord God, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. When we have suffered for a while, we perfect, establish, and strengthen us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Job said that, you know, we have heard of the patience of Job. We have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is pitiful and is merciful. He doubled it all for Job. He gave him double of what he had before. And we can keep on throughout the scripture to help us, Lord, to be patient even in tribulation and in trial.
Amen.
In the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. With him, may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In the almighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Bible says this is our reason for our example, for our admonition. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for helping us this morning. Just reading through the thing written in the Word of God that will be a good example for us to follow as we are admonished. Take for example, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as examples of suffering, affliction, and of patience.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So you are an overcomer, no matter what confronts you, innit? An overcomer and so forth. So I'm with you always, he says, amen. Praise the Lord. Right to the end of the age. Bible says, David says, you are watching the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. But thou art with me. Yeah, rather than understand your comfort in it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Who